Let us now prepare ourselves for God's word. Most loving Lord, there is none like you. None like you in all the majesty that you are. None like you because you are the only one true, ever living, and everlasting God. And you are God in the fullest and truest sense of the word. Sovereign, absolutely, completely, and perfectly over all that you've created, from the smallest atoms, Lord God, to the greatest cosmic bodies. You are sovereign. You know all things, you see all things. And in your sovereignty, you are also the wisest. All true wisdom come from you. And you fulfill your holy purposes because you are wise. But you are not just wise, Lord. You are merciful and good and loving. You, Lord God, are the God of compassion. But you are not just that, Father. You are also holy, 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 perfectly righteous and just, so that righteousness and justice are the foundation of your throne. And in your holiness, you will punish wickedness and those who do wickedness and those who reject you, because you are holy. Once more, Lord God, help us to stand in awe at the greatness of who you are. And may you use your word today to bow our hearts before you, Lord. And if there are still those among us who are yet unbelievers, minister to them. Put in their hearts, Lord, the fear of you. Well, for the rest of us who are believers, fill our hearts with thanksgiving as we hear your message for us today. We thank and bless you, Lord God, in Jesus' name. Amen. We continue with our short Romans series, a short study on Romans 1, verses 18 to 32. This will be our last Sunday, last and third Sunday, in the study of the consequences of unbelief and rebellion. No, and we had started this, I think, 4 Sundays ago. It was just broken last Sunday, because I was not around. As I had mentioned to you, I divided this section into 2 major parts, verses 18 to 23. Look at your Bible so that you could see where this first part is. God's judgment, God reveals his wrath. And I divided this section into 3 parts. Let's just read through the verses of each of these 3 parts. The first part, the first subpart, is the recipients of God's wrath. Verse 18, for the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who suppress the truth in unrighteousness. Very clearly spelled out there is the wrath of God. And we did just one Sunday a study on God's wrath. And then the second subpart that we will see here is entitled The Revelation of God's Existence. This is from verses 19 to 20. Let's read verses 19 to 20. Because that which is known about God is evident within them, for God made evident to them. For since the creation of the world, his invisible attributes, his eternal power and divine nature have been clearly seen, being understood through what has been made, so that they are without excuse. Of course, God here was speaking about general revelation. There was still no written revelation or special revelation at this point in time. But here we are told that when God created us, he created within us this ability to recognize that someone higher than ourselves exists. And then he created the whole of creation for us to see creation as proof of his existence, and therefore hopefully to acknowledge him as we see creation testifying of his existence. And then the last part, the last subpart of this first part was from verses 21 to 23, the reason for God's wrath. Read now with me 21 to 23. For even though they knew God, they did not honor him as God or give thanks, but they became futile in their speculations, and their foolish heart was darkened. Professing to be wise, they became fools and exchanged the glory of the incorruptible God for an image in the form of corruptible man and of birds and four-footed animals and crawling creatures. So here we see the reason for why God had poured his wrath throughout history in terms of several kinds of judgments and will pour forth the fullness of his wrath one day that is coming very, very soon upon this earth. And what is the reason? Even though they knew God, they did not honor him as God. They did not give him thanks for being the God who created them. Instead, they trusted in their own understanding and began to create their own gods. The gods that would suit their preferences, not any God who would convict them of sin and warn them of judgment, because they don't like gods like that. And so man eventually created his own God, which he can bribe through offerings or through works. Well, that is not our God. Okay? And so from there, we continue with the second and last half of this passage. God's judgment, God gives them over, from verses 24 to 32. Again, I will divide this section into three subparts. And here we will see the first one. God gives them over to impurity. He gives them over to impurity. So please read with me verses 24 to 25. Therefore, God gave them over in the lusts of their hearts to impurity so that their bodies would be dishonored among them. For they exchanged the truth of God for a lie and worshiped and served the creature rather than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. Wow. Because of men's sinful response to the revelation of God, look at now verse 24. It starts with the word, therefore. This is the result of man's sinful response to God's revelation. God gave them over in the lusts of their hearts to impurity so that their bodies would be dishonored among them. The first thing that I would like us to look at here is that expression, gave over. In the Greek, this is just one word, and it means to surrender, to yield up, to deliver up. Here, it means to give into the hands of another. Okay, here we see the imagery of a king who gives a convicted criminal into the hands of the executioner, gave that person over. So although these words might sound ordinary to us, they are very serious, extremely serious words. And very clearly, these words describe a form of God's judgment. I cannot overemphasize this because you will see this all throughout this second part of the passage that we are studying. These words clearly are a form of God's judgment. By the way, you will see this also in verses 26 and 28. Kindly please take a quick glimpse at verses 26 and 28. And so he gives them over in the lusts of their hearts. The phrase "in the lusts of their hearts" describe the conviction of their hearts. And here is the picture, and here we see a picture of those who at this point have not yet received the Lord Jesus Christ. This is a picture of unbelievers. This is a picture of those, because they are unbelievers in the eyes of God, are among the unrighteous and the wicked. In the picture that God gives us of their hearts, is that their hearts are full of lust. Now again, the word lust, epithumia in the Greek, means a strong desire, a craving, a deep longing. Yan po ang lust, no? But particularly a longing, a desire for what is forbidden. Yan pong ibig sabihin ng lust. It is an inordinate affection. When we say an inordinate affection, it is an excessive affection. So for example, we need to be careful, no? Minsan yung mga hilig po natin, if we, for example, hilig natin mag-collect ng mga sports cards, halimbawa, or hilig po natin mag-collect ng mga watches, for example, or figurines, because we are Marvel fans or DC Comics fans. So we like to collect all the paraphernalia and all the toys that you can find of all the different characters, for example, in the Marvel Universe. Wala akong problema na magkaroon tayo ng interest as a hobby, but the moment that interest becomes inordinate or excessive, we need to be very careful. Sometimes we think lust is all about sex. No. You can lust for food. You can lust for power. You can lust for money. Whatever becomes the driving force in your life has become an idol in your life, and you will lust for that idol. At the end of the day, lust is desiring, longing, craving for that which is forbidden. I remember some years ago, I had counseled a couple, actually two couples, no, who fell into adultery. No, the one who fell into adultery in one of the relationships was the wife, in the other relationship it was the man. Okay, so and I remember when I talked to them, the man and the wife, man one and wife two, had a relationship. And I remember when I was talking to that man, he said, sabi ko sa kanya, alam mo kapatid, I don't care whatever it is you've felt, no? Pero lust yun eh. Lust. Nung umpisa, pumalag siya. Pumalag po siya. Sabi niya, uy, hindi naman, pastor. Talagang minahal ko siya. And then I told him, that is what you think in your mind, that it is love. But from the perspective of God, it is nothing more than lust, because you desired something that is forbidden by God. And that is why it is adulterous from the perspective of God. And adultery, God seeks, or God looks at super seriously. In fact, it is listed as one of the Ten Commandments. Okay? So, akala lang natin love. The very first case of a disfellowshipping that we had experienced in my ministry here was another lady who had an adulterous relationship with another man from another church. No? And it became so bad that the wife of that man came over to our house to complain about the man, about the woman. And I was so shocked. I learned only of it when that wife came. So when I had the wife called, and she was simply, she was saying, and you should have seen her face because it tried to look innocent. Sabi niya, how can it be wrong when it makes us so happy? This must be a blessing from God. I almost fell off my chair. I opened the Bible and showed her verses on adultery and told her straight, how can it be from God when it is clearly sinful? And what you think is happiness is not happiness. It is only the lust in your heart being fulfilled. And that is what is making you think that you are truly happy when you are not. That is the deception of this sin. That if you don't stop, then we will go through the whole process of discipline of Matthew 18. Well, she did not stop, and she became our first case of disfellowship. And when you are disfellowship, you are announced. Your name is announced to the whole membership of the church. There is a procedure. I preached on church discipline many years ago, and we still apply it today. We still apply it today. And so here we see that because this is the condition of the hearts of unregenerate or unsaved men, sinful men, therefore, always have a strong desire for what is forbidden, particularly forbidden by God. And I believe we live in a time when this is so clearly seen, so clearly manifest, that what is clearly forbidden by God is what is actually being pursued the most. Because man in his heart has a strong desire for what is forbidden, especially what is forbidden by God. Now, you need to watch how quickly and how powerfully the LGBTQ movement is progressing today. You need to read and watch what they have been able to infiltrate in terms of different institutions today, most especially educational institutions and institutions like the church. And many are being drawn to it, at least to support it or even to try it, knowing that it is forbidden. And woe to the pastors who allow the celebration of same-sex marriage or same-sex union in their churches, knowing very clearly what the Bible prohibits. That's why, I'd like to remind you, the series that we're doing is for our biblical perspectives on contemporary issues classes. Please don't forget that the next class will be two Saturdays from now. Again, 1:30 to 3:30. And we will be looking at the issue of what is the woke movement. And if there is time, then we will look at what is this social justice issue today. that so many people in America, for example, are crazy about, and that many people here in the Philippines are so epal with. Sa totoo lang, hindi ko po alam kung paano ko i-Englishin ng epal. Okay? Patalagang pati mga Pilipino, nakikisaw-saw. Nakikisaw-saw. Yan sa social justice issue na yan. It is not what you think. And here, in all of these issues, you will see that this is the strong desire. What is forbidden is now being given an official title, an official label, a less offensive or scary label. They think that just by changing labels and names, the evil agenda that they have can be justified. Hindi po. And then look at the word impurity. The word impurity here, akatharsia, means uncleanness. In a moral sense, it refers to the impurity of lustful, extravagant, degenerate, immoral living. Ayan po. Akatharsia, the Greek word, is the opposite of katharsia, from which we get catharsis, a cleansing. When you add the Greek alpha as a prefix to the word, it turns the word to mean the opposite. So here it means uncleanness. And it has come to refer, in a moral sense, to the impurity of lustful, extravagant, degenerate, immoral living. There are so many other words that can describe this, but I believe that these few words here give you already a picture of what impurity is. And again, I would like you to understand, we're not only looking at these words from our perspective, but we are trying to look at these words from the perspective of God, who is holy, who is the epitome of what is pure in all His holiness and righteousness. In His eyes, this is what impurity is. I remember yesterday, as we were preparing for dinner, we collect our filtered water in jugs, in large jugs, para iniipon po namin yun, which lasts for about 2-3 days. And when my daughter opened the first jug, which was already empty, she saw something floating, small, dark, looked like a black little sand particle. She said, "Oh, what's that black thing?" Never mind, it's just one. No, and I was telling her, "No, we must throw that because we don't know what that is, even though it is only small compared to the amount of water, it has rendered that water impure." Okay? And that reminded me of how God looks at us through holy eyes. No wonder God says, it takes only one sin to be a sinner. Only one. You don't have to break all the Ten Commandments and all the other commandments related to the Ten Commandments. It takes only one sin to be called a sinner. But you see, the bottom line is this, when you look at that also from the other side of the coin, the reason we sin is because we are by nature sinners, having inherited the sinful nature of our ancestors, Adam and Eve. Now, as you look at this passage, one aspect of mankind's corruption to which God actively gave them over here in the passage, in this verses that we're looking at, was the aspect of sexual corruption and depravity. Therefore, God gave them over in the lusts of their heart to impurity, so that their bodies would be dishonored among them. And that's why when you think of the commonness and the frequency of live-in relationships today, and I know this, I know this because we have many friends. They already have children and yet they are not married. And sometimes you make the mistake, oh, so who's your wife? Who's your husband? And they give us this quizzical look as if, do I need to have a husband or wife to have children? Frequency of lived-in relationships, wife swapping. This is a big thing today in the States, in modern nations. Group sex parties, gay sex, all of these things today only confirms this result of God's abandonment to impurity. These are proofs of it. And really, it is so common that someone like me, who came from an age where I believe many of us in our batch in Ateneo were wild, would get shocked today because of the frequency of premarital sex happening even at the high school level. At the high school level. Ngayon, pag may boyfriend, girlfriend ka, it is almost automatic, hey, we need premarital sex is normal. And they will laugh at you if you don't engage in it. Huh? 5 years na kayo mag-boyfriend and girlfriend at wala pang nangyayari? So they begin now to wonder. You see, sex within marriage is a holy gift from God. And that's why when I counsel couples, I spend time in talking to them about sexual intimacy. When I disciple couples every now and then, I am very intrusive when it comes to this because that is part of what discipling is. I ask them how their sex life is. Why? Because God had intended for sex to be a very major part of a married couple's life. It is His gift to them. It pictures the unity. Remember, our marriages are a picture of Christ's covenant love with the church and vice versa. And so sex within marriage is a picture of the intimacy that we have with our Lord Jesus Christ. Our knowledge of Christ is not just head knowledge, it is an intimate knowledge. And I bring that picture to couples so that they don't just engage in sex for sex's sake, but see, hopefully, that sex is something that God has given, not only that they will experience pleasure from one another, but through the sexual union, their intimacy in terms of their relationship, their appreciation for one another, their continuing attraction to each other might be enhanced. Napakaganda po talaga ng bigay ng Panginoon ng kanyang kaloob na sexual intimacy to married couples. Now, outside of marriage, sex is simply impurity. And sex is the degrading and dishonoring of bodies by using these bodies contrary to God's intention. And that's why if you're someone who's used to sleeping around, you are greatly dishonoring the body that God has given you. Or if you're someone who is into the pornographic industry, you are one of the porn stars. By the way, today, grabe po ang respect na binibigyan nila sa mga porn stars. You have gravely dishonored your body by using it contrary to God's intent. If you are boyfriend and girlfriend, I don't care how much you say you love each other, when you engage in sexual intercourse, you degrade and dishonor your bodies, and in the eyes of God, it is impurity. And that's why when I counsel two people who had fallen into the sex of into the sin of fornication, I tell them this: didn't you realize, or someone had fallen into adultery, didn't you realize that each and every time you did that, God was watching? He was watching. And I remember Habakkuk who said, "Lord, your eyes are too pure to look upon these things." But because he is the God who is everywhere and the God who knows all things, he was there in the midst of your grave sexual sinning. And so, as a form of judgment, because of the lustfulness of their hearts, God gave men over to impurity. In here, impurity we can define as an immoral and depraved, not deprived, but depraved, truly lost lifestyle that would, first of all, bring them great dishonor in the eyes of other men. Like, what kind of dishonor? You know, you've heard how some men have been labeled as babaero yan. Kahit gaano ka noble ang posisyon niya sa lipunan, sometimes you can earn that reputation, babaero yan. You have already been dishonored. It's worse when it comes to women. Ay, yung babaeng yan, pakawala yan. During our times, ang tawag namin sa kanila, mga paka. Dahil pakawala. Loose. Known to sleep with as many of the men that she could find. Already in the minds of men, they are already dishonored. Maaring hindi ka bastusin. In some situations, binabastos ka. But in most situations, hindi. But please don't think you're not being dishonored. Those who are gay understand this. Why do you think they're fighting for the LGBTQ movement? So that they would no longer be seen as people who are dishonored because of their lifestyle. They want to be accepted. They want to be approved for being who they are. And they continue to claim that they were born that way. There is no such thing as a homosexual gene. Something triggers the lust in the heart of the person, either in a very young age or later on. But let me promise you this: at the end of the day, it's lust. It's lust. I would probably be spat on by some gay people for saying that. But though I say that boldly, I say that in love, and I say that in the context of God's word. And I say that to challenge you, maybe even to anger you enough to truly say to yourself, ano ba sinasabi ng Bible dyan? Sige nga, tignan ko. Yes, please, tignan mo. And may the Lord move upon you in His mercy. So they would get dishonored in the eyes of other men, or it is a lifestyle that would cause them to use their and others' bodies in dishonorable ways. In dishonorable ways. With all the attendant consequences of such a lifestyle. Ayan, tuloy, nagka-syphilis. Ayan, tuloy, nagka-gonorrhea, sexually transmitted disease. Ayan, tuloy, nagka-AIDS. Using it in dishonorable ways. There was a time kung saan some people just had this kinky mindset of always wanting to video their sexual acts. Diba? Lumabas na yan. That has caused so many scandals of many personalities and celebrities in the past. Dahil nagli-leak out yung mga pagbivideo na ganyan. Why on earth would you want to video yourself? When sexual intimacy was meant to be precisely that, intimacy. It is just you and your spouse. Because you love each other. And the physical intimacy becomes one of the highest expressions of affections, if not the highest. So as a form of judgment, because of the lustfulness of their hearts, God gave men over to impurity. Read now verse 25 with me. Verse 25. Ayaw gumana nito. Ayan. Verse 25. For they exchanged the truth of God for a lie and worshiped and served the creature rather than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. Now, in a sense, this verse repeats the truth of verse 23. Look at verse 23. In a sense, it seems to be repeating the truth of verse 23, but really, it is expressing more. Now, look at that phrase, the truth of God. I would like to make very clear that the truth of God does not only refer to the truth concerning God. It does not only refer to the truth about God, about who He is, what His character is. But the phrase, the truth about God, or the truth of God, also refers God's truth, refers to God's truth concerning all things, including what God says about man, that man is a sinner, that all men fall short of the glory of God. The Word of God speaks of the judgment of God and the rewarding of God. It does not only talk to us about who God is, but it talks to us about God's truth concerning all things. Now, what is the truth of God referred to here? That men are created by God and therefore can find true fulfillment and happiness only in sincerely worshiping and obediently serving God, his creator. That is the truth that is being spoken of here, that they had exchanged for a lie. That men are created by God, in fact, created in His own image. The only thing in the whole of creation created in the image of God. We had looked at that and looked at what that meant in the past. And therefore, because of this, man can find true fulfillment and happiness only through a relationship, an intimate, personal relationship with this Creator, where you would find Him sincerely, joyfully, lovingly worshiping His Creator. Worshiping Him because He knows in the depth of His heart that my Creator deserves to be worshipped. Obediently and gladly, fervently serving His Creator. Because what else can I give to you, O God, but my life to do as you please, my life to follow as you command? Because I love you. Diba? Kung mahal mong Panginoon, wala kang problema mag-serve eh. You see it both as a privilege and a joy. Because my God, who does not need anything, wants me to do this for Him. Wow. And so if you're struggling in your commitment and in your desire to serve the Lord, the problem is not with the Lord. The problem is not even with the ministry. The problem is in your heart. Something is getting in the way. Whether you realize it or not, you might be exchanging the truth of God for a lie. Actually, that those two words, a lie, can literally be rendered the lie. The lie. And what is that lie? That men have exchanged the truth of God for, on the other hand, what exalts the creature as being able to exist without God? Please add the word what before the word exalts. The lie that men have exchanged the truth of God for, on the other hand, what exalts the creature as being able to exist without God? That's the lie. It exalts man as self-sufficient. I don't need God. It exalts man as self-directing. I am the master of my fate and the captain of my soul, and my future are in my hands. They are self-fulfilling. I don't need God to experience fulfillment. I can find it myself in myself. And they are self-worshipping. Man's greatest God are not the idols. Man's greatest God is himself. Even those who worship idols, literal idols, what they are worshipping are the gods of their own creation. The gods that they prefer. That's why I say self-worshipping. So, in other words, man has made himself his own God in place of the true God. That's the lie. That's the lie. For they exchange the truth of God for a lie and worship and serve the creature rather than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. That's the lie. I am the center of the universe. It's all about me. Those of you who attended the first class on biblical perspectives, I think it was Stephen Furtick, this false teacher, who said, for God to send His only begotten Son should tell you that you were worth it. There is something in you that is so valuable that God had to send His Son. So notice, the moment you teach that, you will not exalt Christ. In fact, you will not exalt God. You will see God as owing you a debt. Kasi ang galing ko, Lord eh. Kaya wala kang pinadalang iba kundi ang iyong bugtong na anak. There must be something so wonderful, so beautiful in me. No, when the truth is completely the opposite, the reason why God sent Jesus to die for you is because no other payment will suffice for the graveness of your sin against God. Sa sobra mong pagiging makasalanan sa mata ng Diyos, walang ibang kabayaran ang sasapat. Notice how completely different what these false teachers are teaching. Paul now ends this verse with a doxology, a praise for the Creator who is blessed forever. Amen. So in other words, in contrast with creatures who are undeserving of worship, that men would rather worship, God the Creator is forever praised, forever blessed, and therefore forever worthy to be praised. So what on earth are you doing, O man, in worshiping the creature? This brings us to the second subpart from verses 26 to 27, to degrading passions. God gave them over to degrading passions. Earlier, to impurity. Please now read with me verses 26 to 27. For this reason, God gave them over to degrading passions. For their women exchanged the natural function for that which is unnatural. And in the same way, also the men abandoned the natural function of the woman and burned in their desire toward one another, men with men, committing indecent acts and receiving in their own persons the due penalty of their error. So, for exalting themselves above God and for thinking that man is the one deserving of being worshipped and served, God, again, in the form of judgment, gave them over, this time, to degrading passions. To degrading passions. This is yet another judgment. But really, when you look at this, this judgment flows from the first. Now, the word degrading in the Greek literally means dishonoring, disgraceful, even vile. Wow. You don't want to be called vile. It is such a negative word. It speaks of you being filthy, morally filthy, dishonoring, disgraceful. That is what that word means. Degrading passions, the word passions here means inordinate affection. I've mentioned this earlier. Means excessive affection. You just have this excessive affection. For example, for certain music stars today. Okay? Ako, lalo na ngayon. Hindi ko alam ilan po sa inyo ang sobrang talagang gagang-gaga ho pagdating po sa mga K-pop stars. Mga kwarto na punong-puno ng mga pictures ng mga lalaking mukhang babae. In true honesty, if you're just gonna talk talent, wow, they are talented. And there's nothing wrong with admiring them. Just be careful that the affection does not become inordinate, because there is a fine line. Baka sa'yo, idolatrous na. Here the word, at least in this context, the word also means lust, therefore. In other contexts, passion could refer to suffering, like the passion of Christ. It could be positive, but in this sense, it has a negative connotation. Ayan po. So because these are degrading passions, guess what? They imply very negative implications and consequences. Negative implications and consequences. Degrading passions is not a nice phrase. That's why now read with me verses 26, second part, all the way to verse 27. For their women exchanged the natural function for that which is unnatural. And in the same way, also the men abandoned the natural function of the woman and burned in their desire toward one another, men with men, committing indecent acts and receiving in their own persons the due penalty of their error. So what do we see in this part of the passage? Here we see both the reason and the consequence of this judgment of God. The judgment of abandoning men, giving them over to degrading passions. We see the reason and the consequences. The reason is that they exchange the natural function for that which is unnatural. By the way, that first line is not only limited to the women. It's just that the second part from verse 27, God becomes more descriptive when it comes to the men who are exchanging the natural for the unnatural. What is clearly being described here, brethren, is homosexuality. You'd have to be blind or you'd have to be truly hardened of heart not to see it. This is one of those key New Testament passages against homosexuality. There's nothing benign about it. And notice too, the repetition of the word natural. The word natural in the Greek is the word physikos, from which we get the word physical. And so by implication, what is naturally instinctive? It is instinctive naturally. It's something that is produced by nature. Something that is inborn. It means agreeable to nature. It means governed by the instincts of nature. So in other words, here, brethren, natural can mean God intended. Why? Because God is the God of nature. You do not see in the wild a lion wanting to mate with a hyena. You do not see even, for example, a baboon wanting to mate with a chimpanzee. Hey, we're different. What is being spoken of here is what God had intended. And what did God intend? God created man and woman to be attracted to each other. And later on, to be spouses if that attraction continues to grow. And that's why it's normal. It's normal when your young children suddenly have crushes. I'd like to challenge you, parents, make sure you know who the crush is. Okay? Make sure you know who the crush is. And that's normal. Huwag mo sabihin, uy, bata ka pa. Huwag mo muna isipin yan. Instinct yun eh. Instinct yun eh. Kaya kumisa kahit nag grade 2, grade 3, lalo na pag co-ed ngayon, may crush siya. But be very, very observant. Don't just shrug that off. Because your child is now maturing. He or she is growing to that age where now he learns or she learns of the attraction to the opposite sex. But at the same time, brethren, because of what is happening in our society today, if your daughter says that she has a crush, tanungin mo siya, ano pangalan ng crush mo? Ay, si Alex po. Okay? Find out who Alex is. Because Alex can be a girl. Amen? And same also with our male children. And that is how God created man and woman. Tragically, this natural function has been ignored and in fact rejected and perverted by man's sinful passions to the point of exchanging the natural function for that which is unnatural. And this is what's happening today. They're ignoring the natural function. They're rejecting the natural function.
And in fact, they're coming with their own biological explanation to justify the unnatural, so that what is unnatural one day will be accepted as natural. That is the whole agenda. And what is being spoken about here is homosexuality. You know why they're fighting so hard for this movement? It's because they know that because they are in an unnatural lifestyle, they would never truly, really be seen as natural. And so they cover that up with many things, with like success, wealth, being a celebrity. Ako lalo na dito sa bansa natin. They cover it up. But in the depths of their hearts, they know. Remember telling you a story of a gay person, a gay man, who was a good friend of mine way back in college. He was one of the top designers before, during his time. Don't worry, I was never gay. I love the word gay, when what it meant in the 50s was happy. But this man, we just had a conversation. I happened to be waiting for someone in his house, and he was telling me, alam mo, Robbie, successful ako. Meron akong boyfriend and all of that. I'm very well known. I have money. Pero alam mo, malungkot ang buhay ng gay. Sabi ko sa kanya, talaga? Bakit? Parang nga palagi kayo masaya eh. Sarap nyo nga kasama eh. Sabi niya, because at the bottom line, we know, no matter how much people say or make it look like they accept us, we know we are different. We know we are different. Sa totoo lang. And so here we see that the word natural is literally against nature. And this passage that we're looking at now describes the perversion of that which is natural or God intended. When you look at the word perversion or perverse, it means twisted. It has been twisted. Binalubaluktot. So that it no longer looks like the original. Notice also in this passage the strong expressions of degrading passions. Look, women exchange the natural function for that which is natural. Pinagpalit. Men abandoned, look at that word, abandoned the natural function and burned in their desire. Wow. Now that is degrading passion, burned in their desire. Men with men committing indecent acts. Look at all those strong expressions of degrading passions. And therefore, because of all this, God gave them over to degrading passions. Now, we've seen the word gave them over. Sige, pinabayaan ng Diyos. Binigay na ng Diyos. Ayan. And really, because of that, talaga, parang pinabayaan ako ng Lord, gawin itong gusto kong gawin. And because of that, some might think that God giving over to do what they want to do does not sound much like judgment. Right? Diba? Pinabayaan na lang ako ng Lord to do what I want to do. Kung gusto ko ng 100 babae this week, 100 babae. Because God gave me over. But you see, brethren, in truth, not only will men bring themselves deeper into the moral trap of both physical and spiritual degradation, it is a moral trap that will degrade you physically and, of course, spiritually. Those who have come from that life would testify of how horribly, almost fatally dry their spirits have become. And they seek for help. And they find their help only in Jesus. But that is their testimony. But they will not only find themselves going deeper into the moral trap of both physical and spiritual degradation, they are actually also earning for themselves more judgment from God. Yan ang nakakatakot sa God giving over. You get deeper into the sin and you end up earning more judgment for yourself. Look at the last part of verse 27. Receiving in their own persons the due penalty of their error. At the end of it, there will be a penalty. Turn with me to Romans chapter 2, verse 5 quickly. Romans 2, verse 5. Because of your stubbornness and unrepentant heart, look at the next words. You are storing up wrath for yourself in the day of wrath and revelation of the righteous judgment of God. You know what that word is saying? What that verse is saying? Sa tigas ng puso mo, iniipon mo ang puot ng Diyos na ibubuhos niya sa iyo ng buo isang araw. Dinadagdagan mo ang mga puntos laban sa iyo in the form of God's wrath. So, don't think, okay, I'm free to do what I want to do. That's why, as far as I'm concerned, brethren, God giving over someone to do whatever he or she wants is actually one of the worst judgments of God. Mas gugustuhin ko pang disiplinahin na ako ng Lord para matigil na so that I can be stopped from the sinful path that I'm taking. And though the discipline is unpleasant, I'd rather have that than God just letting me go and say, go ahead. Do whatever you want because you're so stubborn. But at the end of it, you will have to deal with more punishment. Which brings us now to the last. You're still with me? Still with me? Let's read verses 28 to 32. To a depraved mind, just as they did not see fit to acknowledge God any longer, God gave them over to a depraved mind to do those things which are not proper, being filled with all unrighteousness, wickedness, greed, evil, full of envy, murder, strife, deceit, malice. They are gossips, slanderers, haters of God, insolent, arrogant, boastful, inventors of evil, disobedient to parents, without understanding, untrustworthy, unloving, unmerciful, although they know the ordinance of God, that those who practice such things are worthy of death. They not only do the same, but they also give hearty approval to those who practice them. Read verse 28. And just as they did not see fit according to acknowledge God any longer, God gave them over to a depraved mind to do those things which are not proper. So finally, because men had chosen to ignore and reject God as God, God now gave them over to a depraved mind. The word depraved is actually very interesting when you look at that in the Greek. It is the Greek word adokimos, which literally means unapproved, and therefore means rejected, disqualified. By implication, it means worthless. It can mean reprobate, lost. And that is why he is rejected and cast away, disqualified. The opposite of adokimos is dokimos, which means approved or
proved to be qualified. Again, dinagdag yung alpha prefix sa dokimos, naging a dokimos, the complete opposite. So, in other words, depraved mind speaks of a reprobate, he completely lost, godless, corrupt, worthless, and therefore a God-rejected mind. Okay? A mind rejected by God, no matter how much accepted by society today, no matter how much it is exalted and lifted up by society today, you being called someone who is brilliant, someone who is a genius, as far as God is concerned, he rejects your mind. It is depraved. A mind that is disposed to do those things which are not proper. Wow. To do those things which are not proper. And that is what a corrupt and worthless and reprobate mind does. It does what's not proper. It can't do what is right as a lifestyle. Because even those with reprobate minds can sometimes do what is right when an occasion calls for it. But as a matter of lifestyle, di niya kakayanin yan. Because aabot yan sa point where he will want to do what he wants to do. Now, when you look at the rest of the passage, it describes those things which are not proper. Verses 29 to 31, we will not go through each one of those sins for our purposes. But there is a lot there. You can take your pick. Unrighteousness, wickedness, greed, evil, full of envy, murder, strife, deceit, malice. There are gossips, slanderers, haters of God, insolent, arrogant, boastful, inventors of evil, disobedient to parents, without understanding, untrustworthy, unloving, unmerciful. Take your pick. By the way, all of these things, even as believers, we can still choose to commit. Because we're still in the flesh. Please don't ever, ever say, there's no way I'm going to commit any of those things. We're still in the flesh. And that's why the battle against temptation is very great every day in our lives. Because every day there is a temptation waiting for us. It could be the simplest of temptations, the temptation to be lazy and not do the chore that you're supposed to do at home. Natamad ako eh. But every day we're faced with temptation as long as we are in this body of flesh. What I would like to focus just a bit more is on the last verse, which clearly highlights the depravity of men. Look at verse 32. And although they know the ordinance of God, that God who practice such things, that those who practice such things are worthy of death, they not only do the same, but also give hearty approval to those who practice them. Now, when you look at verse 32, this verse describes the depth of the depravity of sinful and rebellious men. Sobrang lalim ng pagkaligaw ng taong makasalanan at rebelde sa Diyos. Now, how does this describe this? First, here we are told, if you look at the first two parts of verse 32, that they know God's law. They know what's wrong or right. And they know the consequences of disobeying it. Ang laki ho ng accountability. The more you know, the greater your accountability is. They know God's law and the consequences of disobeying it. Although they know the ordinance of God, that those who practice such things are worthy of death. There you go.
That's judgment. They're worthy to be judged. They know that, and yet, in the next part of verse 32, they deliberately reject and disobey his law. They not only do the same, they do the same. They know the law, they know its consequences, and yet they do the same. Patay. Alam, iba yun eh. Iba yun kung halimbawa, nakapasok ka sa isang lupain, maybe because you were hiking, and then the owner comes and he has a gun and points a gun at you. Oy, trespassing ka, umalis ka dito. And then you will say, ay, makapatawad po, sir. Hindi ko po nakita, hindi ko po alam na ibang property na po ito. Dahil doon po ako galing, kung titignan po niyo, wala pong sign. Paumanhin po, sige po, atras na lang po ako. And maybe the property owner can be more easily appeased. Or he might even say, hindi, sige, tuloy mo na. Saka pa pupunta? Doon lang? Sige, okay lang. But just remember this next time. It's different when that property owner spots you cutting the barbed wires on which the sign "No Trespassing" was hung. Hindi ka pwede magpalusot. Hindi ko po alam na property nyo ito. Eh yan nga, pinutol mo nga sa harap nga, nasa harap mo yung "No Trespassing." The consequences are greater. The guilt is greater because you know what was forbidden and you did it. Exactly this picture. But what is worse is they encourage others to reject and disobey God and His law by applauding them who do the same. Look at that last part of verse 32. There it reads, although they know the ordinance of God that those who practice such things are worthy of death, they not only do the same, but also give hearty approval to those who practice them. That's the worst thing. I believe the words "not only" highlight, hindi lang yan, eto pa. They encourage others to reject and disobey God and His law. How? By applauding them when they do the same thing. Yan. You know what? That is what's being done today. Today, the proponents of critical race theory, social justice, Black Lives Matter, LGBTQ, it's not enough for them that you don't say anything against them. Dati, okay na sa kandili yun. For them, it's not enough. They want you to actually endorse them. It's not enough for them that you don't say anything about them. They want to hear from you that you actually approve of them. Sobra. That's why in many nations today, just saying something true about homosexuality can literally land you in jail. Let's close this. When you go back to verse 18, for the wrath of God has been revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who suppress the truth in unrighteousness. Through this brief study of this passage from verse 18 to verse 32, we see both the reason and the justification of God's pouring out His just and holy wrath from heaven upon sinful man. Amen po ba? I hope and pray that this short study has made you see why God is justified to pour His wrath. And although we have seen God giving men over to impurity, degrading passions, and a depraved mind as a form of earthly judgment, a judgment, by the way, that will in effect cause men to store up more judgment or wrath for themselves, although we have seen these things as judgments, guess what? There is a greater judgment coming still. There is a greater judgment still coming. And that is the great white throne judgment described in Revelation chapter 20. Please turn your Bibles with me to Revelation chapter 20, verses 11 to 15. There's judgment that's happening here on earth, and there's judgment that is awaiting the ungodly and the unrighteous who suppress the truth. Later on, Revelation 20, 11 to 15, then I saw a great white throne and him who sat upon it, and that's the Lord Jesus Christ, from whose presence earth and heaven fled away and no place was found for them. And I saw the dead, the great and small, standing before the throne, and the books were opened, and another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged from the things which were written in the books according to their deeds. And the sea gave up the dead which were in it, and death and Hades gave up the dead which were in them. And they were judged, every one of them, according to their deeds. And then death and Hades were thrown into the lake of fire. This is the second death, the lake of fire. And if anyone's name was not found written in the book of life, he was thrown into the lake of fire. This talks about the day of final judgment, when all those who had rejected Christ, whether through outright wickedness or through self-righteous spirituality, will be there. There will be two books. One book containing all your deeds while you are alive here on earth. None escapes attention. All the words that you've said, all the sinful attitudes that you'd harbored in your hearts. I can't imagine how thick that book would look. And each one of those will be read. Huh? Pastor, bilyon ang pinag-uusapan dyan. Babasahin ba isa-isa? Babasahin yan. To justify the coming judgment. And then there's another book. It's called the Book of Life. And in the book of life is written the names of those who are saved in Christ Jesus. And when that book is open and your name is not found in the book of life, then you're dead. This is the second death. For the wages of sin is death. The death being spoken of in Romans 6:23 is not just a physical death that we die because we're human. Well, the death that's being spoken of there is a second death. It is eternal judgment. It's not death as in you disappear. We've talked about that. We do not believe in annihilation. And then you will be judged. First, that will be thrown into the lake of fire, which is hell, is death and Hades itself. And if your name is not found, you will also be thrown into the lake of fire. Please remember, hell is not Satan's territory. It's not where he rules. It's not where he lives. It is where he will be punished. He will be screaming just as loud as you will be screaming if you're an unbeliever when this day of judgment comes in hell. And so, brethren, our study does not only give us a glimpse of the consequences of unbelief and rebellion, because that's the title of this preaching, right? It does not only give us a glimpse of the consequences of unbelief and rebellion. I pray it also serves as a warning to those who insist on and persist in rejecting God. And you might be here right now. Tapos sumasama ka lang sa asawa mo, sa anak mo, para wala lang away, para wala lang masabi. But in your heart, you reject God. See, the bottom line, brethren, every person either accepts or rejects God. Every person. And don't be fooled. When the day comes for God to judge your response to his revelation, no excuses will be accepted.
So I plead with you. I plead with you, those who might be watching or yet unsaved, do not take your time in deciding to come to Christ in repentance and faith. But for those who are already in Christ, for believers, this study, I pray, serves firstly as an inspiration to thank God for our salvation. I can't count the times as I was preparing this whole mini-series, the times that I had just found myself thanking God for saving me. I pray that as you had listened all throughout three Sundays, at some point you were just thanking God, buti na lang, Lord, sinave niyo ako, kundi kasama ako dito. Secondly, and lastly, I pray this study serves as a motivation to pray for and to seek more opportunities to share the gospel to as many unbelievers we know or to whoever God brings our way. Hindi sapat na magpasalamat lang tayo, buti na lang, Lord, ligtas niyo ako. No, isipin po natin yung mga mahal natin sa buhay na magiging bahagi niyan because they have not yet come to repentance and saving faith in Christ. Makasama natin sa pamilya, our colleagues in the office or in school. This talks about them. And yet many of us say, kaibigan ko yan, I love him. I love her. BFF kami. Pero unbeliever. Have you even attempted to talk to that person about his eternal destiny? Brother, and I pray that this brief study of God's wrath has given you a glimpse of how this attribute of God, the wrath of God, highlights his holiness and justice on one hand. While on the other hand, helps us see the depth of man's depravity and rebelliousness, thus justifying God pouring his wrath and judgment upon sinful man. That is my prayer. Nakita natin, wow, lubos na banal ang Diyos, lubos at sakdal na makasalanan ang tao, and that is why justified siya sa pagbuhos niya ng kanyang buong puot. He's justified. And finally, I pray we will also see the greatness of his grace because although he is justified to wipe out all who have sinned against him, and that includes you and me, by some grace in his heart, before the foundation of the world, he chose to save some. And among those some, you and I are included. So that now we're studying this. Amen. And we need to see this and remember this in the light of our biblical perspectives class, because there you will see how far gone man has become and how much man has rejected God. And that will just tell you one thing. We are nearing God's time of judgment. Amen. Praise God, we are in Christ. Amen po ba? Heavenly Father, I thank you for your word today. And I thank you, Lord, for the patience that you've given my brothers and sisters here, Lord, to hear this message, Father God. Lord, this I ask, first of all, that you were magnified and exalted in all your holiness and righteousness, that your being justified in pouring your wrath has been made clear to your children. I pray those, Lord, who had heard this message, who had not yet come to Christ in repentance and saving faith, I pray that indeed it would plant the fear of you and the fear of judgment as a warning to them. And may they not take their time in deciding to come to Christ in repentance and faith. They cannot do this on their own. This is the work of the Holy Spirit in their lives, Lord. So please send your Holy Spirit to do His regenerating work. But I pray for us already believers that we would be even more lavish in our thanking You for our salvation. And that we are more greatly now motivated to pray for opportunities, to look for opportunities to share the gospel, especially to those we know, those we love, families, friends, colleagues. Please give us the boldness, Lord, to share the gospel to them. Thank You, Father. I pray that this study would cause us never to be ashamed of the passages in the Bible that speak of Your anger and wrath and judgment, no matter how severe it is. For You are the Holy One. As we give of our tithes and offerings, Father God, I pray, Lord, that we will give with the right hearts, ever joyful, always loving, in giving, Father God, according to faith, as we obey Your command to support our work. Please guide us in all our giving as well. Thank You, Father God. And today, Lord, as we practice our evacuation drill, help us to do this rightly. Thank You, Lord. Thank You, Lord, that as a church You've given us this burden to be able to do this for the benefit of Your people. Salamat, Panginoon. We praise You and we bless You in Jesus' name. Amen.